Welcome to Shotgun Sports USA, powered by Winchester Ammunition, the American legend. Listen to the best shotgun shooters from all over the world in every discipline. Championship-winning coaches, gun clubs, target setters, vendors, as well as companies that make it all happen. Brought to you by Briley, Rick Hemingway's Pramatic Trap Sales, Cole Gunsmithing, Clay Target Vision, Castellani USA, and Falcon Strike. Thanks for listening, and remember to visit us online at ShotgunSportsUSA.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram.
In this episode, I have two well-known shooters and coaches that know how to win. We talk a little bit about everything and find out more about each of them. It's always fun talking to these guys, and I'm glad they were able to come on again. Please welcome back to the show, Zach Keenbaum and Mike Wilgus.
Well, I've asked Justin several times and told him that if I was going to interview someone on this podcast, Mike is like the first one that's come to mind. He's just a guy that I met, like I was in college age and he was from the West Coast and shooting well, and I've just always looked up to Mike.
Yeah, you've brought him up several times. Hey, let's get Mike on. I said, Zach, I've had Mike on. He's like, no, you haven't. I said, yes, I have. Now, Mike's only been on one podcast that I know of, Mike, and correct me if I'm
wrong. Yeah, yours.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was,
I think we did it in like 2020, didn't we?
It was a long time ago.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It was a long time. I went back and listened to it today. It was pretty good.
So is there other questions that you come out of that podcast wanting to ask, or did Mike not finish?
I think you guys covered it fairly well, but I'd love to hear. When I talk to and spend time with Mike, he's always telling me stories about when he was younger, but I think he could expand a little bit more on where he's from and his family and how he got into the outdoors or why the outdoors sports and hunting is important to him.
Yeah, I mean, I can expand on that. I mean, my dad a little bit. My dad was in the Air Force, so you know, as kids we moved all over the place, but I was born in Galveston, Texas. And then, you know, a few years later, shortly after that, we ended up in Tri-Cities, which is Eastern Washington. And there's a lot, as Zach knows, there's a lot of outdoor things there as far as hunting goes. And my dad was an avid hunter. So we would, back then it was easy. You could hunt anywhere. Everything wasn't all leased up. And we would literally go, he'd pick me up, pull me out of school, and we'd go duck hunting before school and drop me back off after we had a limit. And I mean, it was crazy back then. We'd pass shoot geese at, you know, 5 feet over our head, and we hunted a lot.
Did you just kind of sort of get back into hunting, or have you been hunting and we just haven't seen pictures of it? Or is this, I mean,
I did kind of get back into it this year. I mean, I've always gone maybe once a year, but with Kayla and us just being so busy, I have not gone. This year I went a fair bit, and Zach and I went together over in Eastern Washington, Kevin and Michael and Dominic Gross, and we had a blast. We had a good time, didn't we?
That was an epic trip, and I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but that region is, in my opinion, one of the very, very best parts of the country to kill waterfowl. There's no question.
No question.
And I don't think everyone wants to go to Arkansas and now Missouri and Kansas. The Northwest is where it's at for sure.
And Justin, I don't think Zach thought I could hit a duck.
he brought out a you could tell the story, but he brought out a special gun and I watched him kill a Drake Mallard with it. It's pretty cool.
Well, Zach was all about bringing sub gauge and I don't have a 28 gauge, but, I go, okay, I'll bring my 410. I've got a 410 1100 that I had as a kid. I mean, my dad shot it. I shot it. We all shot it, but you know, I killed stuff with that as a kid and my dad passed away and I ended up with that gun. And I mean, literally this gun, Kayla shot it. You know, I pulled the pad off. She'd shoot clays on the ground. That's what she started with. So I popped the pad back on that thing. It's like a 26 inch 1100 410 3-inch full. So I brought that in the blind with us on that hunt over in Othello. And the first duck of the day for me was that gun with a 3-inch bismuth 5 and just knocked it out of the sky. So that was pretty cool.
So this is a Remington 1100. They don't even make that gun anymore, do they?
No. And it's pretty mint, right, Zach?
It's in great shape for as old as you told me it was. It's in awesome shape.
That would be a highlight. That'd be a cool gun to shoot.
It's really cool. So that was a highlight of the day, shooting one with that.
Yeah.
You're shooting a youth model 410 Remington.
Yep. All this new bismuth ammo available has really brought these sub gauges back. And I think you're going to see more and more of that, people hunting with their old guns and guns that maybe couldn't shoot steel in the past. You're going to see a lot more of that. It's a lot of fun.
Next season, we're going to have Winchester 3-inch bismuth 28 gauge.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to be good.
I killed a lot of ducks with that this year.
Mike, you going to get a 28 gauge now or are you still going to shoot the 410?
No, I think Zach might talk me into getting a 28 gauge for next year.
Why, Zach, why is everybody, or I guess it's just you, but everybody that goes with you, you're like, all right, you got to shoot sub gauge. Why are you shooting 28
gauge? It's not just me. I got a whole group of buddies that are shooting 20s and 28s. I promise you, I killed over 150 ducks and geese this season with 28 gauge. I don't think I'd have killed 155 with a 12. It's beyond capable. And when you do find success and kill limits with a 28, I promise you the satisfaction it's a different satisfaction. It's so much fun. I was kind of sad I had to put that gun up. Honestly, here about a month ago, I'm like, I was holding it. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to get to shoot you for a while.
You'll break it out at Nationals.
Yeah, I'll shoot it at Nationals.
Do you have the Upland 28? What are you shooting?
I have the Beretta Upland Magnum. Yeah, it's a new 3-inch Beretta A400. There's some good 2¾-inch ammo available, especially for lead, but a lot of these waterfowl loads are now 3-inch. And Benelli makes a 3-inch model. Beretta's got their 3-inch now, and now the ammo companies are all following suit and coming out with a lot of good stuff.
We're talking about guns. I was in a gun store the other day, and I saw a Beretta on the wall, and it was a A300 Sporting, which I haven't seen yet. And mm-hmm. I thought it's black with lime green accents. I thought it was a really cool gun for the price.
That's a cool gun.
Have you seen those?
I have. I know Joe Finizzi's got one. Desi has one. They're cool guns.
It's a lot like a 391, isn't it?
It's a lot of it's the same design. The trigger's a little more like an A400, but the gas piston is similar to some of the newer guns. But other than that, that straight bolt, the connecting rod, all of that is kind of that old 3-series guns that we all kind of grew up shooting, and the cycling of the gun really feels familiar. So it's that same design that everyone shot for so many years.
Yeah, that's a good gun.
So Mike, you had a pretty good start to your season at the Jack Links last week.
I did. I practiced a fair bit. I couldn't practice up at Rock Mountain, but I got to practice. I practice a fair bit, 3 to 4 days a week, and I came into that pretty confident. Literally before I went, I shot 100, then I shot a 99, and then got on the plane, and the first event at Jack's Link, I shot 98, and then just kept it rolling throughout the weekend. I shot 99 Super Sporting, 99 Feet Test, 97 5 Stand, it was good. I was relaxed and confident.
And I noticed when I was looking at the results, I went to the payouts. You got a pretty healthy payout there, and some of it looks like it's coming from a new class.
Yeah, can you believe that?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So Mike, this year for the first time is now a vet class shooter, veteran, 55 and over.
Yeah,
I've been not teasing. I think Julie and sometimes you thought I was teasing, but I'd been talking about this with you for a couple of years, and I was more excited about it than you guys were at times. Talk about any, is there a new fire? Is it something different to look at on the score sheet? What do you think?
I don't know. I guess it's not a new fire, but it's a new, a new set of goals. But I mean, I'm still right up top in the open, but yeah, it's nice to have another concurrent to go after, and new goals of, you know, maybe go win a world vet title or something this summer.
There you go. Are you on, you made both teams for Team USA?
I did. I made Team USA captain of sporting, and I made FETASC also. And I think McGuire's captain of that one.
That's awesome.
That's good. We got a strong team.
Oh, awesome team. I was all along, I would kind of reiterate to you, I mean, it doesn't change. You're still trying to win HOA every time, but I'm 10 years away from vet class, and I have it in my sights. I wouldn't mind, you know, these young kids, you know, the Finizis and the Todds and these kids coming, they're coming hard. I got another 10 years to deal with them, but I would be excited about it. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it's another bonus, right? I mean, it's a good thing. It's just, it keeps me pushing hard, you know, try to stay in shape, and yeah, it's all good.
And that's where I think you're going to sustain a lot of success. I think as we all get older, and I, something I definitely have to be thinking about. I've seen guys that were great shots kind of as their health kind of goes, their shooting drops a bit. And I don't see that happening with you. I think you're probably is the most in shape 55 year old shooter I know.
Yeah. Anthony said it looked like I missed my shot at the NBA. But yeah, that's the plan, right? Stay in shape and keep grinding.
In 2023, Wendell Cherry won the U.S. Open. In 2023, right. George Digweed won the World FETASC, one of the most physical World FETASCs that I have ever been a part of. As a veteran, won the entire tournament, so it doesn't mean anything other than you get to pick up two trophies at every event now.
Yes. That's true. Don't you guys think there's something to bigger shooters? Is there an advantage to be being bigger?
Largely, I mean, historically, a lot of the better shooters are bigger guys.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be something to it.
You think it's a recoil thing or an endurance thing, or what do you think it is?
It's got to be, right?
That's what I think it is.
You're talking about overweight. I mean, seriously, like bigger, no, overweight
guys. I'm just talking big, whether you're strong, big, tall. I mean, look at the guys, I mean, that are up top. There's, you know, everyone's bigger.
Yeah.
In general, not everyone is. Obviously, Joe Finizi's tiny, but it just seemed like a trend.
Yeah, I think there's something to it. Recoil, accumulation of recoil, being able to truly move the gun. There's probably something to it. But, yeah, for every 10 big guys, there's probably two, you know, Joe Finizis, Kieran Sheds. Smaller people.
Yeah.
And Joe's young. Who knows? I doubt he's going to be that skinny forever.
I think he will.
Right.
You do?
Yeah. Joe's the same size he was 10 years ago, it seems like to me. I saw that video you posted of him the other day when he's running with those hogs in his hand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's to me, he still acts like that. You know what I mean? Like he's...
Oh, you get him out there chasing hogs, he turns into an animal. that kid doesn't do anything, half-assed.
No.
So what'd you guys think of Jack Links? You were both there? You have fun?
I had fun. I thought it was a great event, except for that rain on Sunday, but I dealt with it. But it's always fun to go to Florida out of here for the winter and get down there in the sunshine, and it's a well-run event.
I mean, think how far Mike went to get to Jack Link. It's like all the way across Caddy Corner, the country.
Oh, yeah.
Man, how long was the flight, Mike?
About 5.5 hours, like 3.5 more hours, and I'm in London.
That's kind of what I was alluding to earlier. You know, I might live in Georgia now, but I'm definitely a West Coast guy. And I understand the grind that it takes to compete at the level that Mike is competing at year after year for a long time now. It takes such dedication. I mean, there are great shooters out West, I promise you. I mean, myself and Mike and Gavin, we're all from out there. There's other good shooters. And it's just, there's so far between clubs. There's so many states you have to travel through to get to any major shoots that it takes a lot of effort. I don't think some parts of Texas or the Southeast or even some Northeast, they don't have to travel like that.
The big shoots down here, I was going to say, they're so close together, Zach, like the Caribbean Classic, and then you got Jack Links, and you got Gator Cup, and you got Seminole Cup. I mean, Mike, for 6 hours worth of driving, you can be at all of those places. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, you guys are lucky that there's so many majors down there, but I don't know. I've gotten used to the travel, so, I mean, it's difficult, but I've done it for so long. It's just, for me, it's part of the job. I mean, I just do it, and I'm probably one of the people that travels the best in the country because of that. Even when we go to Europe, I'm just used to it.
There's no question, Mike. You are, before we got on this call, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, I can't think of a better shooter that has a full-time job away from the shooting industry. I think you'd be hard pressed to find someone with a better resume in sporting clays, at least in the modern sporting clays, that doesn't work at a gun club or teach full time.
Right.
So I think that should be something you definitely hang your hat on, because I think that's special.
Mike, didn't you move to a Krieghoff when? 2 years ago?
2020 was the first year.
And you started out with a parkour, I think. And now aren't you shooting a high rib again?
Yeah, I'm back to the pro sporter. I mean, that's just the gun for me. I experimented with those other ones for a while, but for me, the pro sporter is the gun. It just suits my size and everything better. The other ones feel like kids' guns to me.
Do you think that had that played a part on your shooting? Is changing back to the pro sporter?
Oh yeah, I mean, my consistency has come back like immediately. So yeah, all last year Nationals was great. Rolled into Jack's Link, it's great. So yeah, all the consistency's back, and I attribute a lot to going back to that gun.
Well, Zach, what you got to say about that?
He shoots it awesome.
There's only a few in the whole country that shoot those guns super well. You know.
I mean, Mike, Kevin and Karen, Kevin DeMichael still shoots a high rib. Bill's rib is not what I would describe as a true high rib version.
No, Bill's probably more like a Vantage Blazer or even less.
Right, right. But it works for them. I wouldn't put my students in them right away, but it definitely works for them. So Mike, I listened to that last podcast, like I said, and Kayla was shooting a fair bit at that time, but in the 2-3 years since, how's she been doing?
Oh, she's been doing great. I mean, last summer was kind of a breakthrough for her, especially when we went over to Europe, and Kayla's a different animal because she doesn't feel pressure, and she just went into Europe, you know, confident, and boy, look what she did. She ended up on the podium at the World Championship, and she's building on that. Her gun broke at the World FITAS, so we had to deal with that late in the season, and then right before Nationals she got a new stock by Greenwood, and I think that's going to be a major plus this year, having that custom stock on the gun finally.
Oh, no question. I tell people, I mean, the stock's more important than the gun at times.
Right, right. And she's still in the Beretta A400. With the new stock, there's literally no recoil in that thing.
It's awesome. She's growing. She's growing a lot. But I mean, even at this age, at that size, they still want to keep her as comfortable as possible. Get her learning those moves, learning those different shots without recoil being a thought in her mind. In the long run, it's huge.
So you think we ought to stay with that longer?
For the time being, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
We'll see.
Did you think that? I guess you probably did think that Kayla would be shooting, but did you think she would be shooting as well as she is? I want to say as fast as she is.
I would say, yeah, I did think she would be shooting to that level. I mean, I actually think this year you're going to see more of a leap out of her, to tell you the truth. She's just getting so much bigger and stronger, and she knows where to put the gun. I mean, I've never seen anyone literally be able to hang on to quartering birds like – I've never seen anyone hang on to birds like her and be able to just crush them. And she's going to have a big year.
Nice. She like basketball or does she like shooting best?
I would say she likes both, but you know, basketball is compartmentalized because the season's over like this weekend. Right. They just left for state today. So, it's over after that. And then we can get, you know, next week we go to Arizona for the regional. So, she hasn't practiced a lot before this regional, but she'll be fine. And, you know, this will be her start to the season, and we'll go from there.
I remember, Zach, you might have remembered this. I know you remember this. You took a picture of Kayla when she was, I don't know how old she was. She was young, and posted it online and said, this is going to be your next national or world champion. I don't remember.
Future.
Future.
It's her doing an eye dominance test, pointing at the camera. And I mean, I've known Kayla since she was tiny. I mean, tiny. And we would do eye dominance tests on her back then, and she just strong right, which is rare, super rare for any young lady. And she's just, I don't know, she got it in her blood, man. She's been around those shoots since before she could walk, and she just understands the game innately in a way that she doesn't even realize at times. It's pretty cool to watch. She's not, like Mike said, she doesn't get nervous because she's been around some of the best players in the game her whole life, and none of it's too big. She's going to be exciting to watch for sure.
Speaking of, I guess, the lady shooters, they're getting awful close, guys.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, like, they're getting close. When do you think, Zach, when do you think you'll see a lady HOA the whole tournament? Are we closer than we've ever been? Probably. I guess we are.
I mean, we're closer than we've ever been. It would still surprise me at a big 200 burger. When everyone's there, especially. But some of these mid-major shoots that could happen, who knows? I think 2 years ago, Madison Sharp tied for third at a regional in Arizona. I don't think she won the shoot off, so I don't think she stood on the podium, but I believe she tied for third. That's about the best two, at least in our country, one of our tour events that's gotten to. That's close. I mean, that's really close.
That's pretty close.
Yep. As coaching gets better, as our tournaments just get better, these girls are coming along right along with everybody else.
What are you talking about tournaments? I want to bring up something to both of you and see what you have to say about this. I'm on the Score Chaser Pro program, but I don't use it. I think I just get it so I get text messages when I start or something like that. I don't know what I'm doing with it, but I think it's a great idea. But are you two guys having a hard time getting into tournaments like I am? Because I don't sign up. I sign up, you know, 2 months before.
Well, I'm not, but I'm also using that Score Chaser Pro, and they sign us up as the shoots open.
Yeah, I'm on the Score Chaser Pro also, and because of that, I always get in. And if I didn't have that, I'd have a problem because I'm always late to do everything. But, yeah, they sign us up right when the shoots come out, which is a double-edged sword because we're paying deposits, like a lot of money in deposits. 8-9 months in advance now.
Yeah.
But all the shoots fill up.
Yeah. Well, and because of Score Chaser Pro, all the events fill up early, and getting into events later on in the process has become an issue, which I think is what you're describing.
Yeah.
Justin, but yeah, I think you just need to fill out your preference sheet and have them start signing you up to the shoots you want them to.
Well, you know, it's like they come out with Nationals is over, and then now you can register for Nationals next year. I mean, I don't know if I can go next year. There's no sense. I mean, I don't. It's kind of like I told somebody today. I don't want to sign up for stuff not knowing that I can make it. You know, I don't know if I can make it. So I'm just taking up a spot if I can't make it, and then it's, you know, I'll cancel a week or two before I go because I know I can't go. But then somebody else can't go because they've been. You know what I mean? It's confusing to me.
Yeah, it's a, like Mike said, it's a double-edged sword for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is. The answer's probably somewhere in the middle. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have the answer either, but it's definitely a problem. And you're right, Justin. I don't like when people sign up and then they don't show up. But
yeah,
I don't know another way to do it because you have to sign up early to get a spot at most of these. Like Gator Cup in a couple weeks, it's full. So, but we all know there's going to be cancellations and people won't show up.
Yeah.
That's what I tell Mike. I say, if you're just standing in front of those girls on Thursday or Friday, they're going to get you in.
I talked to Rick today. I talked to Rick today about that. And he said, just show up. I said, okay.
So yeah.
It's a little tougher to show up when you're 4,000 miles away, though, without knowing you're going to get in.
You're either going to shoot the Gator Cup or you're going to spend a weekend at the beach. I mean,
right.
Either way, you'll probably be all
right. Right.
Yeah, but it is an issue. There's no question. It's interesting. Everything evolves, I guess. Casey's a smart girl. I bet she's going to figure it out, though.
So both of you being coaches, what do you think about the new lessons thing she's come out with? Are you going to utilize that, or does it fit your...
I had talked to her about it a couple months ago. I'm more than willing to use it. I haven't really had a chance to look at what she's posted here recently, but it should be good.
Yeah, I haven't looked, but I talked to her about it, and I'm definitely going to do it when I free up some time for Rock Mountain and set up lessons there. It's a lot easier with that system to get everything booked in and planned out accordingly. So yeah, I think I'll use it.
Yeah.
Rock Mountain. That, I mean, anybody that would have a chance to go, number one, take a lesson from Mike and just get to go to Rock Mountain and shoot sporting clays. I mean, you gotta go. Mike, you talked about Rock Mountain on the last podcast you did, but that's a special place, man. Can you tell everyone a little more about the history of Rock Mountain and what it actually is?
Yeah, so Rock Mountain, originally the late Jeff Vandentop built this range, and it's really mountainous and rocky and hilly and unlike any terrain most people in the U.S. see. But anyways, when Jeff passed away, I had already been a part owner of it, but then come to this day, there's 13 of us who own it. It's on 75 acres, which isn't giant, but we've got, you know, three towers now. We've got 32 station sporting course, probably 150 Promatic traps, all wireless. I mean, we call it training ground of champions. I mean, it really is an amazing facility and training ground.
Justin, I don't think you realize. It's like shooting in a national park. There are boulders the size of houses that Jeff and these guys moved around, like, strategically around this mountain. I mean, it is incredible. And about half the stations have themes to them. So there's literally a duck pit where you're right at the edge of the water, and it's like you're in an old school duck blind. There's a saloon. You walk into a saloon. You walk into a jail. There's a jail where you're shooting out the bars in the back.
Yeah. There's a chapel.
There's a chapel.
Yeah. We've got the world record fishing pole with a bobber in the pond.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, And the training, like I said, is that, like, for me, training there for Europe last year, it made Europe seem easy to me. And I'm not kidding when I say that. So if anyone gets a chance, I'm going to hold two shoots there this summer, April 27th and June 22nd, both 200 bird registered events with trophies and all, which are kind of cool. They're actually rocks with our logo on them. And yeah, if you can win a rock, not rock.
That's awesome. It's about an hour.
If you were at the airport in Seattle, it's an hour and a half north. And then future, maybe in the next year or two, we'll have a state shoot there or something else. So hopefully we can get some of the pros across the country to come out here and check it out.
It's awesome. They used to hold a big shoot, the Western Open, that ran for probably close to a decade, that a lot of top shooters. In fact, one year it was a qualifier for Team USA. Was it a zone or was it a regional?
It wasn't, but somehow they made it a qualifier. And remember, we actually re-squatted based on top to bottom scores. I've literally got a picture on a rock of me, Zach, Wendell, John Kruger, Brad Kidd, and someone else. I mean, we all shot a major there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I remember.
So it we'd like to bring that back. You know,
I love shooting in the north. Any northern state just has topography. It has terrain. It's not humid.
Good seafood.
Oh my God. Some of those are just some incredible shoots up there. I wish you'd get it going and I'd love to come back.
How does it work with that many owners, Mike? Y'all agree on everything, or how does that work with that many owners?
No, we have a couple meetings a year, and I mean, we're all on the same page. It works fine. We pay dues, you know, and then these shoots bring in money. So, one of my good buddy partners is John Thorpe, and he's really into, I mean, making this place top notch. So we're really, this year is going to be big. We're buying a lot of new stuff. We're getting new gravel on the whole course and just constant improvement. So it works great with 13 guys.
Your buddy from up there, what's his name? Oh, cowboy hat.
Trevor.
Yeah.
Trevor. Trevor's actually an owner too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trevor's a good trap mechanic.
Is he?
Yeah, he actually is.
That guy.
Trevor's awesome.
I'm telling you, he is so funny to me.
I don't. Yeah, he has a good time.
Yeah.
Last week at Jack Lake, I was telling Johnny and Mike, I'm like, let's go. I want to take Trevor duck hunting next year. And they're like, okay. And then they both of their faces changed. And they're like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah.
I don't know if Zach could handle Trevor in the duck blind.
I could handle it. I think it'd be fun.
The first time we went out to eat with him, Kayla was sitting next to him, and it's like she just knew how to take him. And I've never met Trevor, and he was saying things. I was like, wow, this guy right here. I mean, Kayla just laughed at him like it wasn't nothing to it, and I didn't know how to take him. You know what I mean? Like it's like,
yeah, what? Yeah, yeah. You were probably shocked, but yeah, once you know him and his story, and you manage. I mean, I shot the whole Jack's Link with him, so trust me, I know.
We shot. I think we were at Cross Creek or we were somewhere shooting with Trevor, and he walks up. He comes walking down the course with his bag on his shoulder, in flip flops, a cut off Western shirt, and a cowboy hat.
And I said, that's Trevor.
Like, what's going
I guarantee
on?
A lot of listeners, they're thinking, who are they talking about? It's the guy from out west that shoots without a shirt on half the time.
Yeah.
You have all shot with Trevor. With
the big trucker tattoo on his back.
Yeah. These damn West Coasters.
Yeah. Yeah. If you get a chance to shoot with Trevor, his last name's Human, right?
Yes.
Yeah. If you get a chance to shoot with him, he's never in a bad mood. I had never seen him in a bad mood.
So. No, he's a hoot.
Yeah.
Now that you're in vet class, what are your goals? Any new goals?
Well, yeah, there's some new goals. I mean, I always have, like we talked about earlier, I always have my open goals. But as far as vet goes, I'd like to win a world championship and a national championship and keep making captain of the teams for a long time from now. So I think I'm poised to do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think you gotta, you as one of the top vets now, I think you need to encourage some of the other better vets to make the team and accept these positions to go overseas.
Yeah. And that could, next year, we got to talk about that because, you know, we'll be going to Europe next, not this year, but go next year. And we need to talk about a couple of the top guys we need to get on that team and go win over there. So you're exactly right.
I think you have the right shooters. We just need to have them all there.
That's correct.
You know, that's half the problem.
Yeah.
Both shoots being in the United States this year, we'll have a great field of vets, but it's not always the case.
Is it the travel that bothers you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you suppose they don't go, Zach?
It's the travel. It's just, I mean, we've all seen some people love that travel and some people don't handle it as well. It's everything's different. Everything's new. And, some personalities just don't take to that. But they've all done it before. They can handle it. They can go pretty well.
I mean, I love it. I'd go every year if we could. So
we try to, right?
Yeah. I mean, some of those ranges you and I went to last summer were a blast. And I think that was key that we did get there early and we did those competitions. I really think it helped us.
Oh yeah. Hungary was pretty incredible. Just the terrain, the cliffs, everything. Like Mike said, he's from a northern state with terrain. He was really at home in some of that. If you're from flatland of Houston or Florida, it's very different.
Very different.
I mean, what are some of the favorite places you've gotten the chance to travel to and shoot?
Well, I mean, always England is. EJ Churchill's a top one. As far as out of the country, I liked it when we went and trained at Owl's Lodge, even though it was small, but we had a great time. Barbary we went to this year. That was a great shoot.
Yep.
Sporting Targets. It's a small little range over in England. And Zach and I went there and shot the Tower Challenge. That was a great time.
That was incredible.
Zach shot it amazing, by the way, but, yeah, that was a great day. I can't remember what was the name of the one we went to at Lovett's place. That was a good shoot. That super.
Oh yeah. I know what you're talking about in the Cotswolds.
Yeah. So they're,
I'm not thinking just, of the name. Yeah. England.
So many good,
England. Good places. England's like a rite of passage is what I've always told my students. You go, it's not just about Churchill or wherever you're shooting. It's everywhere else you're going to visit and cut your teeth on targets you've never seen, and just that's awesome.
Yeah, and it goes beyond that. I mean, driving just to get there. I mean, on the wrong side of the road, there's a lot. But I mean, every time I come back from Europe, I feel like a better shooter.
No question. What are some of your other outside of England? What other shoots have you liked?
I mean, America. I mean, obviously, I like Rock Mountain here. But as far as major clubs, I like M&M. Backwoods, Meadows. I haven't gone to Forest City yet, so this year will be my first time there.
Oh, nice.
I'm kind of looking forward to that. I have not, no.
Wow.
He's never. I've lived here for 4 years, and he's never come to visit.
I guess you're going to have a house guest during the regional then, right?
We'll have several. It seems like nobody has room there, so I'm probably going to be stuck in a hotel at that one.
Well, I'll send you the hotel I stayed in last time was super nice, and I'll send you the link to that.
Okay.
If you haven't got a room yet. Yeah, Forest City's a big place.
I told people just recently, it's going to be one of the shoots that's memorable because of the shooting, but also because the after-hour stuff's going to be, you know, everyone's not staying an hour every direction. Everyone's going to be really close by. There's tons of excellent restaurants. It's just going to be a shoot that a lot of people circle after the year's over and they really enjoyed. You know, so even Jack Links or even Backwoods, some of these other shoots, you're in the car for 45 minutes each way to get to the event. you're going to be five to 10, 15 minutes from Forest City and great places to visit in between. So,
that'll be amazing.
One of the more fun shoots, I promise.
Yeah. These 45 minute drives get old. I mean, you're so tired by the time you leave the club, you barely want to go out to dinner because you're just in the car so long.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Well, that'll be great.
What place am I going to eat at, Zach, when I go there?
Well, right by the club, there's excellent barbecue. There's a pretty good Mexican restaurant for Georgia. Being a West Coast guy, I'm a little picky on my Mexican food. It's pretty good. There's an excellent New York deli, as good a deli as I've ever seen, right there by the gun club, all within 5 minutes of the gun club. There's other stuff too. There's some great spots.
That's funny. I thought when you said being a West Coast guy, I'm really picky about my Mexican food.
Oh, here we go.
Is that because of your roots go back to Mexico? Or?
No, because the Mexican food on the West Coast is flat out better. Michael, back me up.
He's right, Justin. It's more authentic, you know?
Yeah.
It's not Tex-Mex or whatever. So he's right. It is better, for sure. Yep.
We went when we were on the duck hunt, we went to the same Mexican restaurant 3 days in a row for lunch.
Yeah. A couple of our guys didn't want to go. Where are we going for lunch? Oh, we're going to Mexican again.
Yeah.
And it was good. It was authentic and good.
Yes. Yes. Dominic Gross, when he landed when we picked him up at the airport, he said, I don't know how he came out, but he said, oh, well, you're the only Mexican in Washington. I'm like, Dominic, are you crazy? No. The Eastern Washington is all Mexicans.
He was not the only one.
No.
You fit right in, Zach.
Mm-hmm.
I found a authentic Mexican restaurant here where I live about a month ago. And it's like down an alleyway behind a school next to a gas station. I mean, it's, and I said, what is this place? I walk in and they've got it's like a grocery store for Mexican food.
Oh, probably like meat market or something.
Yeah, a meat market also.
And they have like a taqueria in there.
Yep.
Yep. You should buy some of that stuff. I guarantee you it's good.
Well, I ate some of it and I'm like, I just don't like, I guess it's because I'm used to eating Tex-Mex. You know what I mean? It's like, it's totally different to eat real authentic Mexican food versus just Tex-Mex.
Oh, yeah. My advice for anybody being a larger statured, I eat a lot, and I am a quarter Mexican. My advice for anybody walking into a Mexican restaurant is when you walk in, if there are not Mexicans eating, turn around.
Yep.
That's not good Mexican food.
Exactly.
If the Mexicans eat there, eat there.
That's right.
That is correct.
And if they don't understand what you're saying when you go in, it's probably good too.
It's probably good. Yes.
That's right. That's right.
Shotgun sports. Eating our way across. Right.
Hey, Justin, are we going to give any shout outs to sponsors or what ammo we shoot or anything?
Yeah. Go for it.
You got to ask me a question.
You got to ask me a question. Do not edit this. Do not edit that.
Yeah, go for it. Well, can you ask me the question? All right. The question is, Mike, do you have anybody you'd like to shout out, like any sponsors or?
Well, Krieg Office for my gun. I'm shooting a Pro Sporter 32 incher. And, the big one is Winchester, probably the hardest hitting ammo made. And I'm shooting the 1250 super handicap ounce and an eighths for sporting and 1290 1 ounce light handicaps for FITASC.
I was talking to a guy tonight on the way home that mentioned you, Dennis with Clay Target Vision. You and Zach are both on his pro team. And, it seems like every time I talk to him, one of your names, probably Desi more than both of you, but one of your names are always coming up. I really appreciate Mike and I appreciate Zach. And, so I know he supports both of y'all and anybody listening. If you're looking for a set of pilas, that's the guy to go to for sure.
It is. He takes good care of us. And I'll tell you one thing. I know Zach doesn't wear them, but I've been wearing that new progressive dragon fruit, and it's the new technology progressive. So you literally can't visually see that line. Mm-hmm. I'm amazed by that lens. I wore that lens the whole weekend in Florida. I'm just amazed by that lens. Dragon fruit progressive.
Dragon fruit. I don't have that one.
I think I got that.
Love it. I also have a 47 CIHC that I love too, and it's not progressive, but those are my two go-to lenses. And I would say they're Kayla's too.
What color eyes do you have, Mike?
A hazel. Another one is, there's a 72. It's orangish looking. And I literally in Washington wear it in all low light conditions. And I've even worn it at night shooting, and it's amazing. I mean, you could get with those three lenses. I said you could get by with almost every lighting condition.
I've got it right here. I just got to find it.
Justin has every Pila lens known to man. I know two people that have every Pila lens. It's Justin Barker and Stormy Weatherford.
Really?
Yes. They pride themselves on their lens collections.
Yeah, I find myself just wearing a few different ones. I mean, I'm not a lens changer. I kind of just pick it and go with it.
72 CIMX.
That is awesome. I literally wear that every day in Washington.
Yeah, that's a new one. They actually just come out.
It's a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a game changer for low light.
Zach, that might be something you need to look into.
I need to look into that. I'm not good at low light.
Zach likes darker lenses.
I need light. I need sunlight. I mean, there's no doubt. I got a really good score in the rain the other day. It was dark. But most of my really good shooting is when it's bright.
Yeah, you did shoot a good score.
As I get older, I realize that.
What's your lenses, Zach? What do you shoot? Mike called out his three. What's your three?
I shoot a ton of 18 CED.
Yeah.
Kind of the old staple. I know a lot of good shooters that still just use that lens. When it starts, if it's green out, like Florida is, like the Southeast is, and it starts getting overcast or rainy, I kind of go to those CINs, the purple tints.
19s.
Those help me. Obviously, I'm dark-eyed. I have really, really dark brown eyes. And to me, those EDs, those brown amber tints and purples have always worked very well for me. Like I said, I have struggled with low light, you know, when it's really getting close to dusk. And Dennis has been helping me out with some different, just looking for more contrast in that gray light. Trying to get there. Like I said, some of my best shootings when it's brighter out for sure.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Cause I don't like purple whatsoever. You think it's an eye color thing?
Yeah, it has to do with eye color. I'm sure it does. For sure.
Mike, that's all I shoot in. Honestly. I mean, I'm not to where y'all are, but all I shoot in are 19 CINs. I don't care if it's 11 o'clock at night or if it's 8 o'clock in the morning. Most of the time.
Ryan Harper, I think, shoots in that lens quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a lighter lens guy. I don't shoot those really dark lenses.
Yeah. Yep. You're going back to Stormy. You said Stormy has a bunch of lenses. I saw him down at Jack Links and he said he's wearing the new Raptors from Pila. And I said, yeah, we were talking about him. He says, I got every single lens they make. I said, what? He said, I got them all. I bought 20 when I was at the Grand. I said, what? Okay. Well, there you go.
That's expensive.
Yes, yeah. It is. Yes.
I think he has every Beretta. He has every Pila lens. I know for a fact he has a set of every kind of choke tube, every company's choke tubes he's got. He's just a collector. He's into it.
Yeah.
Zach, let's talk about your thoughts on that diamond trap. Because I know you were shooting some at Jack's Link.
Yeah, that diamond trap. I've kind of gravitated towards the diamond trap is different than the original diamond grade. The original diamond grade's copper plated. The diamond trap is 8% antimony non-plated.
Yep.
And I think I just get more of that smoke. You break them with the copper, similar to some of the European loads that are coat that have some different coatings on them. I don't get that dark smoke break that I do with dark lead with a coated lead, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, so you like you actually like the trap, the non-plated better.
Non-plated, 8% antimony diamond trap is incredible. I'll shoot that at anything long on edge, rabbits, stuff like that. We had several birds at Jack Links that I shot them on. I don't feel I need them for everything. You know, if there's if that bird's within 40, you can't tell me there's a better shell than a super handicap.
Right.
But when it when I need that pattern to be a little tighter, if I want, make sure I've got multiple pellet strikes on something that's out there a ways, that that diamond grade shines for sure.
That's kind of how I feel. I always like to have a few with me.
I think I finally talked them into, I think they're going to load it later this year, is a 1 ounce 1290 diamond trap.
Oh, that'd be great.
For the FITAS shooters.
Well, I think that's probably it. I appreciate both of you coming on. Zach, your idea to have Mike on again, and I think it was, you know, I kind of like these podcasts where it's just a conversation. You know, there's no outlines. There's no real planning. It's just off the cuff, and I kind of feel like that's the way this is, and I enjoyed listening to the stories and what have you. So I appreciate both of you coming on and taking some time.
Oh, no problem. We'll do it again.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, Zach. I mean, you might wear out your welcome. I mean, every time I say this on a bunch of podcasts, I know you listen and I know you hear it. You know, every time somebody comes on, they talk about Zach and what Zach's done.
They don't talk about they might mention me.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then you come on. I mean, that's even worse. Like, I mean, that's good, but that's even worse at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I guess if you start getting a bunch of complaints and comments, then we'll know.
No, we ain't gonna have none of that. Everybody loves Zach. He's always been so nice, hadn't he, Mike? Like, he's never like mad or he's always nice.
No,
you he can't doesn't pick on him though.
Mad. He's a good guy.
If you pick on him, then he changes.
No, he's got gets his feelings hurt easy. You gotta be careful.
He does.
Yeah.
All right, guys, thank you for coming on, and I'll see you somewhere here shortly. I don't know where. Awesome. It's going to be. We'll see you.
All right, thanks, Justin.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Justin.
See you.
Talk to you later. All right.